correct, correct.
You don't have a Prisca Rava on the Torah, right? It's here's the Kasha, here's the Tarazim. He almost never says it. Why does it write that way?
It's a way, well, it's like Rashi does. He's starting, it says, V'rasa se'amecha, what's pshat in this? In other words, why V'rasa also is connected, Nesafta le'mecha, Kasha Nesaf Arnachicha. If you read the sentence the way it's built together, you're going to see it Yisrael and die the way Aaron died. How does that work? So he says, Pirush Rashi, Shenis'ava Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom Misosa Shal Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, he saw the way Aaron was nifter, and he wanted that. V'yesh l'dayek, so he asks, now he asks as a question, V'chi olo al dayitos Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom Yisgav Shalom Chasson? Did he think really that he would have less of a misa than Aaron? Didn't he think that he's the same Madreka? He said, I'd like to suggest the following. The Hine, Inyan Mises Neshikahi, Dveikas Hanefesh Bor Elyon, Ad Shalo Yisbol Zehaguf, Vipordu Ishmael Achiv Hanefesh Mekuf. So he says like this, he explains what is Mises Neshika. He says, Mises Neshika is when a person has a moment of becoming so attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his the ruchnius overwhelms the person. In other words, it's if I can give a mashal with something that is kind of, it's like imagine you have something working on 110 volts, you plug it into 20 volts, it will overload and explode. So a person's body is built to withstand a certain amount of kedusha. As a person grows in madregas, he's able to contain more and more kedusha. But at some point, he is so. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu infuses a person with a certain overdose of kedusha, so to speak, that is the way the person is nifter. And it's a tremendous beauty in the depth. In other words, a normal misa is where the body falls apart because the body falls apart. Because of limitations to the body, and here it's because the person is overwhelmed with the spiritual that the person's, so the body disintegrates because of the outpouring of spirit like the Prophet gives. Like that's called Mises Neshika, right? Like at Sinai, exactly right. Like at Sinai.
So Moshe never got his koichas when I
one second, we will see. Vihine. So Moshe Karzocha Moshe Rabbeinu Oidai Boid Nafshe Vigufo Zocha LaHasek Madrega Yosef La Mashiach Shel LaHasek Chutz Laaretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the highest Madrega possible in Chutz Laaretz. So his body, and the Rambam says that the reason why he separated from his wife was because he was totally kosher to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he told him, Mashallah, if I am to get such a misa in Chutz Laaretz, there is no higher Madrega of being attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've exhausted the Madrega person get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'ashi efsha lahasik b'chutz laaretz. V'yosem ze'i efsha. So v'lozehis ava Moshe Rabbeinu, she'yiska lomaz karna koyed, hainu misas neshika. So he said, he told him, Shalom, I want that type of misa. V'ze'i efsha im le'yukonis at Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, a person gets a much higher madrega of kedusha, is able to get it. Doesn't automatically get it, but it's possible. So he was basically pleading with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and saying, if I go to Eretz Yisrael, that's the only way for me to get Mises Neshika. Because Eretz Yisrael, the ability for Hashem to connect with a person is limitless almost.
But Aaron didn't have to go there.
What?
Aaron didn't have to go there.
Aaron was never in the Madrega Moshe was. Moshe was the only one that was at Madrega, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife, and Aaron didn't. So he said, V'zei efshar kas Yisrael, V'shom efshar shetedabek nafshar be'or yos elyon, Mashar adam b'chotzeret. And that's where it's possible to have it.
That's why I want Moshe badly. That's why
yes.
I'm always begging to go for this reason.
No.
Even long before this is a
plea, a taina, like to, but he wanted to go to Yisrael because of the higher Madrega you get. But he was pleading, he was saying, listen, I deserve to die like Aaron died. It's impossible that to happen here. So bring me to Eretz Yisrael is the only way for it to happen.
Why was it impossible for it to happen here?
Because in Chutz Laaretz, his first point was, the Mises Neshika of Aaron was where a person is overwhelmed with an amount of ruchnius or amount of spirit that you can't have, that the person can't handle. Moshe Rabbeinu had exhausted whatever ruchnius a person, Hashem would give in Chutz La'aretz, he'd exhausted it. And like it says, the Rambam writes it. The Rambam writes it very powerfully that the reason he suffered white was because he was totally attached to Ribono Shel Olam. That had become so his taina was. So Moshe Rabbeinu was coming along with an argument and saying, if I go to Eretz Yisrael, I can get it.
But that means that Aaron's
at that point, correct. At that point, he was not a Rav Madrega. Laharaya, he had a family, and was not allowed to separate from the family, and he could only at certain moments be shafted by Shalom. And that's the whole parasha of Aaron interacting with Moshe Rabbeinu, complaining about the Nevuah.
Where was Aaron when he was nifted?
The reason that he wanted to go to Shalom at the end of his life was different than when he wanted to go earlier in his life.
Or at least there was an argument. You know, there was an it was put forth as argument. What did you want to ask him?
Where was Aaron when Aaron was nifted?
No, so Aaron was not a problem. There was a gap between where Aaron was and what a person could attain in Chutz La'aretz, and that was his Mises Neshika.
Oh, he was given the gift. Yeah. I see. Okay.
I don't remember who writes this, on the Pasuk, Toysev Rucham Yigvod, that it says, you add to their spirit, they die. Mm-hmm. So a Mises Neshika, a Kach Baruch Hu, overwhelms you. It's like, you know, a person, when a person hears a good tiding, that's too much for him to emotionally capture. It's also dangerous emotionally. So it's the same type of thing. A person's body can handle a certain amount of ruchnius. So Hashem answered to him. Ve'omnam omale atak Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told bechol zos ein hechreach sheikones la'etz Yisrael. You're right. You deserve that misa, but you don't need to come to Eretz Yisrael. Kelahar nevo yala. You'll go up to Har Nevo. Umishom yiras aretz, and you're going to perceive it. You'll see it. When you see it, then you'll die, because by looking at Eretz Yisrael, even looking at Yisrael gives a person a higher madrega. So first of all, what? This is the Einisher piece. I do want to talk about this. I had that in mind. I see that you.
Okay, we don't know which Eretz Yisrael we're talking about because.
It's fine, but I want to explain it just a minute so that we.
Talmidim the Chassam Sofer did have a dream.
Yes, and Bate Ungaran was built by Talmidim and Talmidim. Correct. But I want to just explain a little, bring it down, not to something that's just kind of just because a person sees it. If we're to ask a person, let's say, if I were to measure a person, who is the person's intellectual, label him intellectual or not. So you have a person who is brilliant, let's say, knows that he's intellectual, fine. You have a person who knows nothing, but also doesn't even have the idea that there's anything to know more than he knows. And then you have a person who understands that there's a bigger world, but doesn't have it yet. You have a person who is poor, you have a person who's wealthy, but you have a poor person who understands this more than what he has, and another person doesn't understand what else there is. It's being able to understand that something more exists already makes you with a bigger ability to understand something. A person who understands this depth, whether he understands it or not, has some sort of connection to depth. A person says, I don't see, I don't know what you mean a deep understanding. This is what the words mean, and I read it the way it says. He has no depth. Seeing Eretz Yisrael means that the person has at least the sense of what it means to be more. So it's one of the, the Gemara says, for instance, it talks about being able to see the Rebbe. Rebbe says, I saw Rabbeinu, and I was, had I seen him face to face, he'd be greater. It doesn't only mean that, what?
So the back of Rebbe, right? So the back.
Yes, yeah, but if I would have seen the face, I'd be bigger. It means having a sense of a bigger person puts you at least in the world where that exists. I tell people a lot of times there will be Bachrim that the mirror was not for them, But if they have a hefia, don't go there. At least your horizon of what's possible to be will be bigger. And that's one of the things that when you see a big person, so you're not going to be, but at least you have a sense of it. And that's what he's told Moshe Rabbeinu, seeing Eretz Yisrael, whatever madrigas are in Eretz Yisrael, you get there maybe when you get there, but it adds something to the person seeing it.
So is it part that actually showed it to him? That's
the Pshara? What do you mean?
A Pshara?
A Pshara?
Yeah.
You know what? It's an insight, pardon the pun on the words, but it's telling to me, saying, yes, your demand to be Shayach at the Torah. We also need to understand something. What was the significance of Moshe Rabbeinu seeing Eretz Yisrael? It wasn't just, you know, he's very curious, and at least I get a postcard with a picture of it. It meant Moshe Rabbeinu bringing Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, he himself was a Zocher, but some connection, seeing it is a sense. So even though he didn't actually bring us there, but he gave us the idea of Eretz Yisrael, he gave us the concept of it. So having a sense of it is something that's a connection. Seeing is at least understanding. What?
It's an attainment of some sort.
It's a connection. It halachically is fascinating. One of the ways, for instance, if you have a lot of people in a large room to connect them for Berachas HaMazon, seeing each other, it's not wrong. For Peah, when you have trees that you can see them from each other, seeing is some level of connection.
I saw last week a horde on a bullock.
Yeah.
Why did bullock want Philip to come? He didn't need to come there to curse them. Seeing was gonna be able to create in him,
correct,
more of
when you connect to something.
That's okay. Connected to the seichel, right? Where's the Re'ah? The seichel. So that was.
But the Re'ah is a you know, it's like
Ein HaSeichel, no?
It's sort of the feeler of the seichel. It's just like physically, I'm here, but when I see something, I can measure how to get there. I can direct myself. I'm not there, but seeing it allows me to put a line between myself and that place. When we talk about seeing in a mental sense, it's like I have a sense of where the answer lies. I have a sense of what the idea is. I can get a kesher with it. This actually, once we go off tangent a bit, there's a very powerful Sefer Ikrim. And the Sefer Ikrim writes, why is it that it says Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go down, they've done terrible things, the Jews, they've gone off the Derech. He runs down with the Luchos, he sees them, he wears an eagle, and he smashes the Luchos. So he says, well, if the halacha is you're supposed to smash the Luchos when the Jews are worshiping Avodah Zarah, he didn't trust Hashem. Like, I got to see it with my own eyes. Well, why? If the right thing to do was to smash it, why didn't Hashem? So the Ikrim says, because there was no halacha to smash it. It was an appropriate emotional reaction to viewing something like that. Just like it says, ki yecham levav, a person has to take kriya on an ifsam. Even if you believe something 100%, seeing it is an emotional impact that vision, that knowing doesn't. And I mean, I guess I don't want to segue to the trip, but I know a lot. I don't know how much more information I got in the trip or you, but seeing I've heard the stories of Shai Kassir. I know all the stories, but seeing the living room where he sat and baked it and cooked the potatoes is very different in terms of connecting than you know. It's one of the reasons why, you know, in the Western world, Maisa Mitzvahs, we'll get together Pesach, we'll speak about Pesach, we'll put on a play about Pesach, but when you take a piece of matzah and you crack it with your teeth, it's a different connection when it's that's why mitzvahs are physical. Having some physical connection gives that type of extension of comprehension, and you know, that's why, like, you know, last year we went, and now it's just kind of seeing it physically actually does give you some sort of emotional connection. I mean, seeing the Kever Chacham Sofer, I mean, I don't know if there was any more information on that caver than I know, and yet the difference between having some re'iyah to me was very you know as a good litvak, I'm supposed to mark all these things and go to confirm, but
you're not a good litvak.
But I got spoiled. I went to all these places. I got affected. But I'm saying there is something.
As soon as you wrote a kvit to you,
I was gone. That was it. But
another maifis.
What?
I said another maifis.
Another maifis. What? I wrote a kvit
about Rabshai.
I said,
you can see it, so I can't tell anybody from having it. I wasn't there.
I want to tell you, you can argue with somebody who wears a beta tamsfil, you can argue with somebody who wears wool clothing, not wool clothing, but somebody who sits all day cooking potatoes for people, for all sorts of dregs coming in and being kept warm, you can't argue with that. That doesn't, that you know, it doesn't, there are no pirchas on a person like that. So, yeah, the schus of, you know, the chesed, it's, or at least I said, you know, you can ask for schus. You can also ask that we get some of that midah, that they're able to touch with people that are not easy. You know, it's okay. So this is a piece. We'll see maybe another piece. But this is one, and I won't say we're typical because there's one here. Yifka Shavik Ruchos. That's Kabbalistic. It's everything. He has. Look.
That's very mufshat.
What?
That's very, very mufshat.
Yes, but this isn't. Again, this is typical and very not typical. It has no shaykhs with what. Let's take a look at one on the next column, which is actually a little more chassidish in some ways. Kach lachos Yeshua. It's the first full piece. It says Kach lachos Yeshua isha sheruach bo. Take Yeshua, who is the person who is full with spirit, ruach. Nira, Moshe, so he's again, the question that he's dealing with is Moshe Rabbeinu understood that his children are not on the Madrega that maybe Yeshua is, not on the Madrega of him, certainly not, and telling him to take Yeshua was a bit of a disappointment in other instead of your children. So he's trying to explain what was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking. And there's different explanations. Again, I'm just picking this kind of almost at random. Karchachas Yeshua ishash ruach po. Nira. Moshe Rabbeinu al-Solam chashasmo keshliach ba'almo. V'chol Yisrael tovim imenu. V'hu einenu rak kedofik be'sakneses u'ke'oved ha'ir. He says Moshe Rabbeinu understood maybe his own greatness, but he felt that his role for Klal Yisrael was to be totally dedicated, and any schusim that he had, any milas he had, was because he was dedicated to Klal Yisrael. So he said he felt he was like the shamas that bangs on the bima and says Yalav Yavo, or the guy who goes around waking up everybody. He felt that his role was totally, his own personal greatness was totally unimportant in what he was doing. The main quality was selflessness that his kids could have. On that he felt, yes, Yeshua's on higher madrega, but that's not the main requirement for the job is to be selfless and totally dedicated. V'chashav shalazeh gam bonav ru'uyeh mekudayim imala mekomo. Al kein lo omar rak asher yitzev ha'shiyovah k'sher palma. And that's why he said, choose a person that will be constantly moving between them and you. In other words, they're just a messenger boy. Choose a person like them. V'kadosh baruch hu omar loy. Loy kein ata ve'einai. That's not the way I look at you. Ela nitzorech ish asher ruach bo. I need somebody with the spirit, with a higher spirit, and you also need to add to him. I want to. So this is what he says as sort of explanation. I want to add something. It's not quite saying it, not quite meaning it, but I think it's in his context of what he's saying. Whenever you need a bridge between, let's take a business example, a life example. You need a person to be a mediator between two people. So that the mediator has no personal agenda, that's obvious. if I think he's working for the other guy, he's it's in. So I need somebody that everyone feels is selfless and he's out for the common, whatever will be the common denominator. But there's another quality. He needs to be able to share something with both sides. Share something means, at a minimal level, empathy. Each party needs to feel he understands that party. If I want to teach somebody something, so I need to have two qualities. One, I need to know the material I'm teaching, and I need to understand the thinking process of the person I'm teaching to. It doesn't do good that one or the other. And I need to be selfless. I need to be able to give it as many times as I want that I need to get over with. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, you're right. The intermediary between Hashem and Klal Yisrael is going to be somebody who's selfless. That's a given. But there's another important quality, two more qualities. He needs Isha Shiruach Bo. He needs to have a higher spirit than everybody else. He needs to, the person bringing me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be able to have some quality that he's carrying that allows me to see beyond myself. And also, the way Rashi says, Ishruach Bo, that Sheyodea Leilech Likras Rucho Shekalech Dvechot, that he can understand each person, because the message needs also be translated to each person's understanding. And without bridging that, he's not good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, the quality of being able to be selfless is sine qua non. That's obviously must be there. But he also needs to have that extra ruach, and you're going to have to endow that person. So that's why I'm going to need Yeshua as opposed to you. That's I'm adding it to the piece. I think it's in the context of what he's saying. Let's see, another piece here. This is a bigger piece. Yeah. Right. Let's take a look at a fascinating one at Tzavos B'nei Yisrael on Kuf Mem Gimel, the next page on the right hand column. It says Tzavos B'nei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him to teach Klal Yisrael the mitzvahs, and Rashi brings a chazal, Achata mitzava osal bonai, tzavas bonai alai. You know, you're telling me to do something for them, I'd like you to do something for me. Teach them about something to do for me. What is that all about? Yeshloima, b'masha amma mashay ben al-shom yifkor Hashem alakei ruchos isha la'eda, dekvar kasafti b'makam acha, the Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem lo hoyle also koach sheshbeat neviim v'chachma doros im nistapik lemadova he motziim besichlam uburuch Hashem asher bekirbo. He said like this: Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was his shortcoming, meaning as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever he had a question, he would look up and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, what's the halacha in this case? No one else had that ability. No one else is allowed to do it. And no one else could connect Hashem that way. But that means Moshe Rabbeinu did not have actively the ability to learn a halacha using seichel. And this is actually the explanation of the Gemara that says he heard Rabbi Akiva talking and learning and didn't understand what he said. He told Ribbono Shel Olam, you have such a giant. Why are you giving me Torah? So he said, wait. And when Rabbi Akiva finished his entire argument, he said, and this is all halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. In other words, Rabbi Akiva's greatness was using seichel, which has limitations. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke directly to Hashem. The Torah he got was directly from Hashem. But that means that he didn't have this piece. And therefore he says, Kishubo b'lo slavchot, anasher etmein lefesh adam, those cases that we have in Chumash where they asked Moshe, didn't know the answer, Hayamotzi hadin al pisichlo mirmaze atar migumis doime. Why didn't he write a tshuva on it? Why didn't he say, okay, this achmeisher shom lo holos hakoach, ki v'shayoch lishu pei HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls my vidar, He wasn't given that ability because he didn't need it. He would just ask Hashem, and that's what he did over there. And he says an extraordinary phrase, Havale Kimura Lachne Rabo. If he would have tried to use his own seichel, he'd be like somebody passing aloha, where's Rebbe's there? Hashem is here, ask. No one else has the ability to ask Hashem, no one else is allowed to ask Hashem. He could, and therefore he was not allowed to. Al Kain Amma, that's why you have to say, wait 1 minute, I'll hear what Hashem has to say.
Was it called Torah, so?
What?
Was it called his Torah?
It was his Torah because he and Hashem, it says, it was like a secretary, just saying exactly what Hashem said. So it's called Torah's Moshe because he set himself up in a way where he was the exact, whatever came out of his mouth was what Hashem wanted. That's why it's called Torah's Moshe. Al Kain. Bishlom Ekeshemesh Yeshua Kamanihiga Dor. So he says, one of the flip sides of it is, any Gadol whose greatness is his own, when he dies, Morish Kochol Talmido Achrav, Vein Tzorch Lo Miyivkash Ezeda, he gave it over to Talmud. I have a certain ability, I have a certain thinking process, a certain sheet, a certain mahalach, a certain derech, I give it over to Talmud. Ach Moshe Ben Hashem Chasha Sheyomus, Vein Hashkir Tietze Yishur Kmetzlo, Vein Yochel Yishol. But what am I giving over Yeshua? Yeshua, to have the Shechina by you, the Shechina is not mine to give over. I don't have a derech or a shita or anything of mine to give over. So, ulahamtzim nafshu dinam et hakonis, ze'em bekach Moshe Risho. To give that over, that he can't. Ki b'shasma lo yoyos hakach. He didn't see it as his own ability. He was just nakna Hashem Baruch Hu. Al kein yispalo yifka l'kei ruchos ish ala eda. And that's why he asked the l'kei ruchos should be appointed on everyone. So that's his main point. His main point is that he wanted somebody. That's what he asked for.
So it shouldn't be surprised that in case of Spalka, this week's parsha, that he had to ask. He had to ask out of every piece of halacha. So why is that brought out?
Because those were not given to him clearly until the event happened. It says Akadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen through the women of Tzlafa, no Tzlafa, because they were special people. They were Tzidkanios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that event to be recognized as because they came and asked for something that was appropriate. We should now say this halacha is but no Tzlafa are the ones that brought it.
I suppose to that.
Yes. What? Kanai Pogrebo. You know, so those cases where someone else did it was because of a Tzlafa. So he adds one more piece, we'll finish with this. He says, Vehine kasa akuzari maime echad. It's the Kuzari writes and the Maral writes that of all the mitzvahs, the one that's impossible for anyone to figure out is karbanos. She'em b'korach shum navi chacham to figure out which karbanos went. It absolutely makes no sense. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you're worried about this, this is the parasha you should teach them. Because this will never be able to be figured out. Teach them karbanos. Ad shatam etzav alayit etzav aleihem. That's how he connects the two parashas, explains Rashi. And this is a very small part. I mean, he was like a wellspring, a Mayan Amizgaba. His last words in his tzava, in his will, was he wrote a will to his children, and his last words was, according to Gemara, may it be God's will that the tree never dry out, that the tree never shrivel, and the ground spring never dry. You know, so they cut it. Say, "Ilom v'shalo yivash yisyabish hamayan." He just kept.
In terms of Riyadh, do we have any photos? You know, of
the Chassam Sofa. Yeah. We have paintings of sorts. I have no idea if they're how genuine. I don't know. You know, it's. Does it say how accurate the porch? You know, do we have any record of who made the porch? I mean, there's pictures on in every sukkah. You can get those pictures. I don't know.
They say the Rambam, the one that was on the dollar bill, that was on the shekels. He didn't have any payers. The guy in the shekels.
What?
The Rambam who's on the shekels.
How could he paint the Rambam? Who painted the painting? But Tachlis, there were no paintings painted those days. Nobody painted paintings, so how could there be a painting?
Right.
You have to ask yourself, like, you know, portraits were not.
I'm going to Google it and see what we get.
We're used to seeing Godless in Torah is the person being Mechadesh, is the Chidud in Torah.
Yeah.
What's the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is not Mechadesh in Torah at all? Is that, it sounds like literally...
You make a mistake.
What does it mean?
It's going to the wrong end. What you're trying to do when you're being Mechadesh Torah, when the Mechadesh Torah is to try to understand what's the emes. And what?
It's
a brachim style. And when you, so when you take a sentence that's cryptic, unclear, you take a halacha that's not clear, and you work it through to clarify it, what you're trying to do is to get, what did Hashem mean? So we always assume the real understanding is finer than what we have. But if what you have is, you're able to, Hashem talks to you, then you have it. So for us, the only way we have it is by delving deeper and honing it down.
Bringing out the clarity.
Exactly. So that's for us. That's the only. Because
Moshe Rabbeinu did look at the Rabbi Akiva saying he is a greater mechadesh.
Rabbi Cohen explains that if let's say sometimes you're dealing with somebody who doesn't understand something. And you don't even understand what he doesn't understand because it's so obvious. He couldn't understand struggling with the pshat because he understood it exactly the way it was, the clarity. That's the way Rav Tzadik writes it, and that's a very powerful point. What do you keep doing with what he said?
You have to change the disc for some reason every day.
There's a disc.
No, there's a disc. There's when you drive,
a log.
You put a log under the.
I see a lot of buses. This is unusual. It stops so much.
I don't get it. They have to change.
Is it being tracked?
Yeah, they track for the company or something, or maybe it's a law. They have to track.
Yeah, but I've never seen a bus stop.
I don't get it also, but that's what they do. I see them changing it and writing dates on it. I'm not trying to understand.
Wow. That's powerful. I get the Yeshkar.
I think
this morning when they had the shoes of the Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing, no more. But when you see it, it sort of triggers. You know, it was a place where they pushed people who killed them, Rahman and San, you know, in the Daniel. They made a memorial of a lot of shoes lined up there, and it's extraordinarily powerful. No, it's not as if I know more, but just again, having that sense of seeing it is very, very moving. So terrible. I wish I had another.
That's so great. I don't want to stand.
I can stand up and you can see.
No, I'm happy here. We'll pick here.
It's just seeing you all the time standing. Maybe if I don't see you, I'll be okay. No, please. Okay, I'll try. Rav Noach always used a muscle. It says Moshe Rabbeinu came and he did a miracle like the blood turned, the water turned red, and all the magicians did the same and it did. So he said, Rashi says it was very common. Magic is very common. So he said, so what did he gain by doing a sign? Like, didn't he understand? Like, so what do you think of gaining you? So he said a very interesting mushroom. He said, imagine I tell you they're selling suits for $100 at, I don't know, wherever. You'll believe me, maybe. But if I tell you, here, this I got, you'll believe a lot more. Why? I mean, if I'm pulling a fast one, I could do it the same. But there's something, when something becomes not words, but sort of a thing, and so he said, a sign simply to concretize, I come to you, B'Shem Hashem, here's a sign. It wasn't proof, because anyone could do it, but it's a difference between telling you about an idea or yeah, you know, it's a... Sunflowers are gone. It's more tree mountain. And it's uphill.